Good day to you, one and all. It is I, Justin Hawkins, and this is Justin Hawkins Rides Again, the podcast, beaming to you live and direct, direct from a swanky boutique hotel called The Mandrake here in London's Fitzrovia. Today, we're talking about elitism and snobbery, I suppose, in the realm of music and art in general. We're talking about culture, societal conditioning, exposure to a certain type of music. We talk a lot about fast food and the differences between that and a more nourishing and diverse diet, I suppose. But all of it, just give me a second, all of it is in the context of music. And now, some of the opinions that I espouse during this episode are not my own. It's really important to stress that, and I do stress it several times throughout this episode. I'm merely playing devil's avocado, in which I am pretending to be a music elitist, a music snob, if you like, and I am quite disparaging towards certain types of pop music. But it's a great chat, and I think you'll really enjoy it. Please, to enjoy. Again. Good day to you, one and all. It is I, Justin Hawkins, and this is Justin Hawkins Rides Again.
What, Jaws of Victory,
Pitfalls of the Music Trade. And today we're talking about, help me.
Elitism and taste.
Elitism and taste.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't quite know where this is, how this is.
Well, what? One of the pitfalls of the music industry, snobbery.
Snobbery? Snobbery.
Snobbery. Snobbery.
Sounds like a fruit.
I love snobberry.
Okay. Delicious. I had snobberies on my porridge. Is it?
Don't you think that there's snobbery in the music industry and in music taste in general?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. So yeah. Then people sort of sniff out inauthenticity in a rock band, for example?
No. I Not think that? When people are listening to music and someone goes, I like this band, and someone goes,
oh,
and it's like.
But is that elitism? Is it? Do people do that because of the town that they're from or something?
No, I don't know what it is. I think it might be some sort of one-upmanship.
You're going to have to explain this phenomenon. What happens?
Well, when you're trying to figure out your music taste, there's always, people go, oh, I know that. I listen to this band, and they're kind of showing off, or I like this band, or my music tastes good, better than yours. Like, well, is that even a thing? Can
sometimes,
it be better?
Sometimes people say, what, you're still listening to that? Uh-huh. You know, like if it's some, but not if it's something from years and years ago, but if it's something that's from, I remember somebody said that to me because I was listening to the Happy Mondays. In that, you know, their big, what was the big album called again? Is it the Pills Thrills one?
Don't know.
But I was listening to that about 5 years after it came out.
Oh.
Only because I didn't listen to it when it came out. Yeah. I rejected it. And then I came back to it and thought, oh, actually, this is good. And then somebody caught me listening to it and was like, God. Yeah, are you still listening to this?
Yeah.
To imply that I'd been listening to it the whole time and I should have moved on.
You see, yeah. And then there is, even with The Darkness, didn't you find that people were a bit snobby?
They still are a little bit sometimes.
Yeah,
but why would they be snobby about us?
Well, what were they saying?
They were shit. No, they weren't saying that. Not to my face, anyway.
They were saying it to your face.
No,
they're
sort of feeling it. They were, sometimes sometimes people were saying it, yeah. But I don't know how that's snobbery. Isn't that just like, oh, I suppose it's because your taste doesn't align with somebody else's, then...
They look down upon you.
Oh.
Don't they? I guess when teenagers have it most... When you're like discovering your taste at 14.
Give me an example of when someone was snobby about your taste.
So I was listening to The Darkness.
Yeah.
And everyone else was listening to My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
Or Elliot Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't actually know what the boring people were listening to. I feel like they didn't even know what music was.
People only find out what music is when someone tells them, though.
Some people just don't care. They'll just listen to whatever is on the radio. That's their taste.
Oh.
Well, I don't know if that is a taste or that's just they take what
So if somebody said to you, what's your music taste? And you say, the Radio 1 playlist.
Yeah. You don't think there's any snobbery when people are talking about music?
I just don't know if snobbery is the right word.
What's the right word?
The right word would be... I don't know. Because snobbery implies that there's... you know, like a some sort of class hierarchy.
Yeah,
it?
There is, I think.
You think so?
Well, someone, if you met someone, let's say you're on a date.
All right.
Hey.
Hi.
And you go, what music am I listening to?
Well, no, I wouldn't. I'd say, hey.
You're so beautiful.
Have a seat. I like your
eyebrows.
Perfume. Or whatever it would be.
Nice face. Know?
Yeah, I wouldn't lead with what
great
music
face.
To listen to. Actually, it would be good to get the music taste out of the way quite
so
early.
So ask me.
All right, what kind of music is it that you like to listen
so
to?
So I love Nicki Minaj. Ooh. And I particularly love Beyonce. Mm-hmm. Central Cee.
I'll get my coat. What is that last one you said?
Central Cee's those rappers we were watching the other
oh,
night.
Oh, yeah. The number one. Mm-hmm. Current UK number one.
Yeah, Anne-Marie.
Who's that?
She's a pop star too. I love Katy Perry. Yeah. She's my favourite. Mm-hmm.
So why am I on a date with a nine-year-old?
You see? Snobbery.
Oh!
We should have a button for snobbery.
I'm a snob.
Why are you judging me?
Okay, go again. Because your music taste is appalling.
What does that mean, though? Why? How can music taste be bad?
No, it's bad in the sense from. It's bad.
What does that mean? It's just music, isn't it, for everybody?
No. It's not just music. It's not just music. What the thing that you're consuming is the kind of music that you've just told me you enjoy listening to is the silty sewage pop music that's had all of the edges rubbed off it. There's nothing in there.
But
that
I like to sing along to it. They're very talented. Have you heard her voice? Mm-hmm. I'm a Swiftie.
Yes, I've heard her voice. I've heard it on so many occasions. I'm a father of a 10-year-old girl, so I've heard it. Yeah, Blank Space. I actually think that's a good song.
One,
that's a good song. Yeah.
Do you like to Shake It Off?
That's not my favourite one.
So you're saying that
I like it
so
up
you're saying
to a point.
I'm a child because of the music I listen to?
No, I'm saying
you're
that you have.
Me.
No, I'm just observing that you have exactly the same music taste as my 10-year-old daughter.
But is it because it's such good music it transcends ages?
No, I think it's because I think I was reflecting on this the other day. I think that kind of music is devoid of anything that resembles surprise. It's the harmonic content of it is formulaic in the extreme.
But rock music's the most formulaic.
Yeah.
And you like that, don't you?
I think that's...
Every AC/DC song sounds the same.
Yeah. That's true.
But you love that.
Yeah, I do.
So are you a child?
No, well, in a way,
is
yeah. But
bad?
I mean, you have to remember that AC/DC is not a good example because the guitar player is actually dressed as a 10-year-old boy, you know, most of the time. Yeah, it's formulaic in the sense that this loud and exciting stuff happens just when you expect it to happen.
So does Taylor Swift songs.
Yeah, but it's not loud and exciting.
But maybe I don't like loud music.
I suggest that's true, yeah. Although sometimes when the bass drops in the club, yeah. When those, I don't know what kind of club, the youth club presumably, yeah. Plays those songs by those artists that you just listed, then it can be loud. You can turn it up as loud as you like.
But it surprises you in the right way. You're like, I'm listening to this song. Oh, there's a drop. Just like your guitar solo.
That means there's a...
surprise in just the right way.
I don't know. I think
don't guitar solos always go for the same amount of bars?
Are we?
Well?
What are we doing here? Are you being devil's advocado?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you really think that I'm going to the club?
I hope that's not what's happening. All right, let's go again. Sorry, I'll try again. I won't be a snob this time.
No, we're not. We're still going.
Are we?
Oh, wait, on the date? You mean?
No, just try again. What kind of music do you like listening to?
Let me just check my phone.
Yeah, have a look at your most recent listens on one of the streaming
I'm look at the charts.
Services.
In protest of our conversation last night, I was listening to Led Zeppelin this morning because you made me feel bad.
Yeah.
See? Snob.
What? But how is it? What do you mean?
Because you were judging, saying that I shouldn't be listening to certain kinds of music.
There was an artist that you said you actually listened to and I couldn't
understand.
Yeah,
but I told you why. I explained the thought process.
Okay,
I said it was familiarity and it was at the top of the Spotify. But it was next to a very good band's music.
But why wouldn't you endeavour to familiarise yourself with something that's...
Because when you're stressed and driving, you just want something that It's like a weird, is it like that weird, like psychological thing where that you just hear the same noise and it gets rid of the shit in your mind?
So it's a little bit like when people get that stick and then they rub it around a bowl.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
A sound bowl.
It resonates in exactly the same way as all the other stuff that's in the charts.
Yeah, and then sometimes they might say something, all right, they can't be completely crap, can they? These people would be so upset. These people think they're musicians making good music.
Do they?
I think so, yes.
I don't think that's true.
I think they are.
I think the people that write those songs know full well that what they're making is McDonald's hamburgers.
I don't think so. I mean, one of them's only 20, so. Also, I don't know how she can write lyrics like that. How can she have had that many life experiences?
I don't know who you're talking about.
The 42-year-old's co-writer who's venting against his exes with this 20-year-old girl.
Absolutely.
Art.
But is it, though?
Well, he felt those feelings.
So then it's a true artistic expression by...
She's a spokesperson.
Right, so
she doesn't realise that. But
okay.
Well, like if you look at the last song,
I think we need to say who the person is.
Look at the last song.
Well, it's the Led Zeppelin Music Band, which I wholeheartedly approve of.
I know.
What was...
It was Olivia Rodrigo.
Olivia Rodrigo.
Because we covered her songs. This is what happens when we do the channel, okay? We cover a song.
Mm-hmm.
I have to listen to these songs. Then it gets in my head.
You don't have to drive long distances listening to it endlessly, though.
I do. I have to get it out. I have to finish it.
Oh, so you wait for the fascination to
wear off,
disperse.
And then I might never listen to them ever again. That's why when you're like, oh, you're a fan, I'm like, no, it's something else. But in the past, I would never have admitted it. But now, at my old age, I don't care anymore. I don't care what people think. Well, I do care that you care.
So do you think that that's how...
I would have lied before.
Like an artist like
Even 2 years ago,
Olivia,
I would have lied to you.
I think you should still lie, to be honest.
See?
You should go back to lying.
Snob! What's wrong? Why are you judging me? You make me feel horrible as a person inside.
That's not my intention. I want you to be rewarded by your listening experiences. I want you to listen to harmonically diverse stuff with challenging...
Now that you mentioned that, I found an article
that
talks about this. And we'll get back to you being a snob in a minute.
Please
brings
do.
People joy.
Me being a snob?
No. Certain music. Isn't that the most important thing? You're annoyed that their success is bigger than the people that probably should deserve success. Right?
No, I think I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed in general. It's just my default setting. And I'm, now that you're saying that, that's what I'm projecting my annoyance onto. My inner rage.
But you must be really
becoming out of rage. I don't know.
Okay. So your music taste is more to do with your culture than how your brain is wired.
Okay.
They thought that musical preference is rooted in the brain, but a study of remote Amazonian society suggests that musical tastes are cultural in origin. If you're brought up listening to certain kinds of music and then you go on a date with someone 25 years later, and then that person goes, oh, you're a horrible person because you like that. That's not that person's fault.
All right, let's flip it then. You ask me the question and then be a snob.
Okay, what music do you like?
Well, Dire Straits.
Oh, so boring.
I know.
They just moan about this. It's not even like exciting or loud. Plods along.
You ever listened to Dire Straits
properly?
Just
a little twiddly-dee-dee-dee for ages.
Which Dire Straits are you talking about?
All of them.
You don't know any of the Dire Straits. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but have you listened to my songs in depth?
Olivia Rodrigo, yeah. I listened to that one that goes... and I immediately thought, Elvis Costello, pump it up.
Actually, that's a lie. I send it to you going, this girl rips off other songs.
Mm.
This, I know this song, tell me what it is. And then you told me.
And I told you it was Elvis Costello.
Yeah.
Pump it up.
Yeah.
And there was another one that they... And I listened to something else on the next one along was something else from that era, you know.
And then another one was Paramore.
And I think what we said
was,
okay, so... She might not have knowingly absorbed those riffs and then regurgitated them, but she's probably working with someone that does.
Yeah, we know. We named him.
Yeah, so we found out who it was, and that was somebody who was in their 40s, listening to presumably music of that era because he was brought up in that culture, and then repurposed those riffs and those mnemonic kind of tricks and stuff into this pop music. So she unwittingly is regurgitating stuff from his culture.
Maybe she's being used.
I mean, whichever way
But when I was listening to rock music, people didn't get it. My peers, they're like, that's shit. Mm.
They said it was shit?
Yeah, they didn't like it.
Because it didn't, was it stuff that was in the key of C?
They just didn't like it. They just thought it didn't, they didn't like the way it sounded.
Oh.
What does that mean?
It means they're wallies. That's what it means.
But why should there even be judgment when it's just enjoyment?
No, I mean, I think if you really, really enjoy listening to, you know, what's in the prevailing radio station's playlist, then you probably consume music in the same way that Bobby might go to McDonald's and have a burger. You know, but then again, on a special night out, he might go to
Iguanas.
You might go to Iguanas and have like some fried plantains.
Yeah,
he might do that.
Yeah,
which is the equivalent of listening to jazz.
Iguanas is not just so offensive to jazz.
Well, not iguanas then. Maybe he'll go to like a Michelin star restaurant.
Yeah.
And he might say, well, I'll do the tasting menu.
Yep. Then you taste it and you go, that doesn't taste like McDonald's, it's shit.
Give me a burger.
Yeah.
Like that, like the...
Oh. I'm not saying this is good or bad. I'm trying to get to the bottom of it.
What's the conundrum here? Some people have got shitty music taste. That's why.
Yeah, but they would argue it's not shit.
But like, I would argue that it's the same as the McDonald's argument, because the most popular restaurant in the world probably is McDonald's, but we all know it's the shittest one as well.
But Beyonce fans, let's say.
Beyonce fans. Okay, that's a bit of an anomalous one because she's undeniably talented. But at the end of the day, how are the songs being crafted?
I think she had 24 songwriters in one.
Yeah. So they're doing a line each.
But does that matter? Well, you're going back. You're going too far back. We're talking about the finished product here that people are consuming, not the process.
Okay. So what is it about?
Do you think people should be... Should
All right, let's ask a different question then. You like listening to Beyonce.
I actually don't... I'm pretending.
Yeah, I love Beyonce. The character that you're...
She's got that... I did listen to one song over and over and over again for 6 months.
Are you being real now?
Yeah, it's terrible. Which one was it? It's really bad.
Which one?
That one with Megan Thee Stallion.
What?
One about clearly. You see, I've deleted it now because I've exhausted it. I'm ratchet. I'm of something.
Nurse Ratchet.
That was a good Netflix.
Yeah, so. I know. But what?
It was really bad. Anyway.
What did she say? I'm wretched.
I'm nasty. I'm wretched. Something.
I'm wretched. It's a good word, actually. I approve.
Yeah. Savage.
Savage.
Can we play it?
Mm-mm. Under no circumstances.
You wouldn't like it.
How do you know?
Because I know what you're like.
What am I like? I don't get it.
You don't like stuff like that has a beat in it.
I like beats. I'm fond of a beat.
Do you want me to play it?
It's good for me to rhyme over, yeah.
I can only play 10 seconds at a time, so.
Okay, play 10 seconds of it. I'm sure that's more than enough.
See, this is an example of a song coming into my life and then I have to exhaust it to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
That could just be a mental illness that I have there.
I think it probably is. I've never heard that before. I like that chord. Yeah, it's harmonically rich and diverse. It's just, it's almost jazz.
It is.
In the sensibility of the chords, anyway.
Mm. So you do.
I approve. You're allowed that one. Okay. Yeah, that's okay.
I'm not.
Because if you sing along to it, you don't know the words. You just go.
You're not
going to
make it on TikTok very well.
What?
That's your mime.
I'm a TikTok. I'm a moderately successful TikToker.
200,000
and counting.
20,000.
Next time I look at it, it's like 190,000. Have I just alienated the whole TikTok generation?
No.
That's good.
They'll be all right.
Okay.
They'll be fine.
So what we're saying then, if I don't like that, I'm a snob.
No, it's the way you can dislike it without judgment, right? But I think you'd think...
I don't think I dislike it. It's all right.
What do you dislike?
I wouldn't even say that...
Because a minute ago you said...
I mean, I wouldn't choose to listen to it. Let's put it that way.
You said on the fake date thing that I had my character had the taste of a 9-year-old child.
Yeah. Well, it's exactly the same as a 9-year-old child.
But also a lot of 30-year-old women listen to that music.
Right. Are they... the ones that... They've probably got 9-year-old children as well. They had children at 21. They're now 30 and they have to listen to it because kids listen to it. Yeah? Is that it?
No.
So why is it that a 9-stroke-10-year-old child listens to that?
Because her peers are listening to it.
Why are they listening to it?
Because their mother put it on.
Is it because it's on the radio all the time?
Maybe. Do they listen to the radio?
Everybody listens to the radio, whether they want to or not. Because even if you sort of struggle to put the tape in or the CD or plug in your thing,
when you start the car, the initial...
What?
The Bluetooth connects.
When you're waiting for the Bluetooth to connect and you start the car up, you've got the radio on. And something that sounds like that is probably going to be playing on it.
Yeah.
Because there are, I don't know how many... How many people are in charge of a radio playlist?
One.
Yeah.
I met the Radio station. One guy.
The guy?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Chris, I think.
Surname?
I think his name is Pine, isn't
it? Hey, Chris Pine, how you doing?
I think Chris Pine might be a famous actor.
Don't forget,
also.
There's a new Darkness album coming out soon.
Or maybe it's something Pine. It's either Chris or Pine.
Chris Pine was Captain Kirk in the Star Trek reboots. I don't think he's also the...
I know, I met him, though.
Right. Yeah. And did you say live long and prosper?
Uh-oh. Hmm. But, yeah.
Missed opportunity. Okay, so I think what bothers me is I want to know why culture pushes us towards those things that all sound the same.
Well, we know it's commercial.
Right.
Makes money.
And what is it? What do you find comforting in the sound of a thing like that makes you want to listen to it over and over again?
That beat.
Your inner 9-year-old child. The beat.
It's those the repetitive moments in it.
Me. Yeah, that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
And people like to sing along with stuff.
So it becomes like a frequency in your...
Like a sound bowl, like we said earlier.
Yeah, this is a sound bowl bullshit. But the but is it also... Is it something to do with the tempo that sort of taps into something in a psyche? Because they always say, like, occasionally... I do get asked to top line a thing, for like one a dance person, very, very occasionally. And then that dance person is like, yeah, it's going to be 122 BPM.
Yeah.
Why do they, why do they know that? Why is reggae always the same?
What
I don't know.
Ska?
I think it's, ska is always different because it's got a bit of punk in it. I don't know if reggae is always the same. It used to be done by humans, so it couldn't be exactly the same.
there would be some fluidity in the tempo mapping, you know?
I don't know. If you listen to, for example, UB40's Red, Red Wine and then compare that to No Woman, No Cry.
Yeah.
Is it the same tempo? Nearly. Actually, nearly. Hmm.
Wait, so some people, you love Fergal Sharkey.
Well, I admire his jawline.
Yeah, but someone would go, I can't believe you listened to that.
Yeah, what's but that one you? Particular song that I like by Fergal Sharkey, I like it because it's a reinterpretation of a Maria McKee song. I suppose they could be true, all about love and what it can do to you. And it's just... He's reimagined it in a really cool way. And it's got a... Like it's not Pino Talampinos, whatever his name is, playing the bass, but it's something, someone doing that kind of, it's some clever stuff happening underneath the surface of it.
If people aren't musers and they don't understand.
But they're missing out, aren't they?
Yeah.
But is that the snobbery then? Like you just think, well, why don't you look underneath the
Because not everyone has and see what's happening. The time to do everything. You know what I mean?
You don't have time to
like some people
think about what you're eating or what you're listening to?
Well, what if you could be really into fitness, you could be really into food, you could be really into arts and crafts.
Do you think that somebody who eats hamburgers every day and doesn't give a shit and just shoves them in their mouth and goes, oh, give me another hamburger, do you think they
could be musos,
do you think they're nourished in the same way as somebody who goes, oh, let's have an artisanal sandwich with some avocado on it and stuff like that?
No, but they might have other things going on in their lives.
Yeah, but you can still have something nice to eat.
But isn't listening to music, like, not work, but you need to make an effort? We were talking about that yesterday, weren't we?
But if you engage in the art that you consume, you enjoy it more.
Yeah.
It's actually you I feel sorry for. I do.
But then you should have more compassion rather than judgment.
But judgment and compassion, they're two sides of the same coin, really, because what you're really saying is you're doing it wrong.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, you're doing it wrong. If you're listening to that, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You're doing something wrong.
But then there's people who don't have peers. So I didn't have much music growing up. So I struggled to find music.
Well, didn't you have like a lot of that sort of Celtic Gaelic stuff?
I played the Irish flute.
Is that one that goes out the side or out the front?
I did both. That's the tin whistle.
At the same time?
I could.
Like Michelangelo Batio of the...
Two tin whistles at the same time. But only the upper notes.
That's what that would be a good interpretation of that Beck song, wouldn't it? Two tin whistles and a microphone.
Anyway, that wasn't my music that I listened to. My family didn't really have any. There was no music in the house. Occasionally in the car.
So this is what happens.
So then I was always
viewers
trying.
At home. If
I'm not my character.
If you raise a child in a musicless household,
they listen to
there's
the
a
darkness.
Good likelihood that they'll listen to Olivia Rodrigo on. Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh. Rodrigo.
Olivia Rodrigo. On repeat for 6 months.
I didn't listen to it
so
for 6 months.
So don't condemn your children to that. Make them, force them to listen to
music.
I
used to try hard to try and... So
when you were growing up, what did your parents play?
My mum didn't play anything, except maybe Leonard Cohen in the car, which is
genius.
Is a tough one when you're 12.
Hence the mental illness. Got it, yeah.
Yeah, so this man talking.
Yeah.
Not all the time. My dad played Creedence once or twice.
Yeah.
And the Drifters.
Special occasions?
No, definitely. And then I saw some CDs lying around. So I saw Michael Jackson on a CD. I didn't know who he was.
Which one was it? His Story.
Bad. Mm. And then Bette Midler.
Is that the one that had Wind Beneath My Wings on it?
So I chose the Bette Midler one because I didn't have anyone around me to tell me which one to pick up.
Did you look at them and go, which one looks the most like me?
I was a bit scared of the Michael Jackson one. So I had to listen.
Yeah,
to
he does look imposing on Bad. He's got the one glove and the studded jacket.
Bette Midler had Take Me to the Chapel. I'm going to get married. The song.
Oh, okay. I thought that was the Hosier song.
She had Jolene on it.
Was Hosier's Take Me to Chapel? Is that like a cover of a Bette Midler?
Yeah, and then I got to school and no one knew who Bette Midler was. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have to change.
What, they
back.
Hadn't seen Beaches? What kind of school is this?
And then I decided, oh, I know what happened. I found a girl. Who was 13.
And you liked it?
She liked horses, and I liked her. And I liked that she liked horses. So I started horse riding. And then she told me to listen to rock music. So I did.
Ah, so that was peer pressure.
No, it was peer sharing.
Peer-to-peer sharing.
She was
sharing.
Like telling
pre-internet,
me about, telling me about music. You had loads of music in your house growing up.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
It isn't fair, you're right. It's not fair.
So I'm at.
I should have not listened to any music.
No, someone should have given me put some music in my house. Yeah. So then I was always trying to find music. I always struggled.
So I think, like, I know we're supposed to be talking about snobbery and elitism. Mm. I don't know how elitism plays into it because that's definitely hierarchical.
Well, you were saying a minute ago that.
What was I saying?
You're doing it wrong and you feel sorry for them.
But that's not elitism.
Is it not?
No, that's just. Because elitism is like about poshness and
no,
isn't it?
Not always. In terms of class, I guess.
Well, but I think it's fair to say that, you know, some musicians, you'd have to say they're elite musicians.
Yeah.
Like your Nuno Bettencourts, your Nate Woods, people like that. And then you've got, no disrespect to anybody, Olivia Rodrigo.
Go.
Go.
Yeah.
Olivia Rodrigo, go. Who else?
I don't know if Beyonce can play an instrument. She's a good singer, isn't she?
Yeah, that's her instrument, isn't it? So
get rid of her. Okay, she's good. So she's all right.
But that's why I think she's anomalous, because she's an impressive singer, isn't she? But and what a dancer! I mean, come on,
take that,
take that.
Boy bands. That would have been snobbery around that, wouldn't it?
Do you remember when I think it was maybe it was just before COVID or during? I'm not quite sure, but I used to be. Well, all of us used to be quite obsessed with looking at Tony Hadley's Instagram, because it just seemed to be him getting drunk and saying, "Hey, how you doing? You're right. Nice to see you. Yeah, it's me, Tony Hadley. Today I'm in my garden drinking wine. It's bloody brilliant." And it'd be stuff like that every day, really uplifting. And there was one where he said, "Oh, just opening this box," and it was like an unboxing video. He was already drunk. It was great. And he took the lid off. He said, "Oh, it's a bottle of wine from Gary Barlow, and says on here it's red wine, medium." And then he goes, "Look, it's got piano keys on the label, because you know Gary. That's typical Gary, isn't it? Because he's a piano player. He's got piano keys on his thing." And then he pours a glass of it, and he goes, "Yeah, medium. Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about, to be honest." It's really inspiring, but I think there's a certain in boy bands. There's a take that is another anomalous one, because one of them seems insistent on changing the narrative from fucking boy band guy to talented songwriter boy band guy.
Yep, we know which one you're talking
about. By doing
wine,
and putting piano keys on it to remind everybody that he wasn't just in a boy band. He was seated at a piano for some of their performances, playing first inversion.
But that's a good
normal
but
chords.
That's a good point. Do you think he felt judged because he was in a boy band?
I think he should feel judged.
Just keep coming back to does, saying that you're not elitist in a snob.
No, but it's not elitism, though, is it?
I'm going to find the definition.
All right, elitism is to do with
because he's probably like, "I wish I was didn't have that."
Elitism is to do with your social standing, and you know.
But do you think boy bands are lower in the social standing?
I absolutely do. Yeah, of course I do. They're fucking dancers. Poses.
So it is elitism.
Of course it is.
Critics portray him as an out-of-touch elitist.
No, that's me.
Yeah. Mm. Older men with an elitist attitude about music is one of the examples.
And herein, well, that's from here on in, that's how I'm going to... Can you put that in the bio, actually?
Older
all
man
of my socials.
Who has an elitist
older
attitude.
Man with an elitist attitude towards music. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because I think it's healthy. Nothing the silty sewage pop that's regurgitating good ideas from a few years ago, not even 20 years ago in some instances, that's not helping culture. And yeah, it's elitist to sort of suggest that we should explore more harmonically and you know, more diverse music, because I think it'll make us better people.
Yeah. But
I mean, better people.
But do you think the people who listen to it...
Don't you want us to be better people?
Yeah, I like... Yeah.
I like better
people. Yeah, I do.
I'd like it if everybody was
better. I agree.
Better.
I think better music... Yeah, but I'm trying to take the perspective of...
Well, I'm only playing devil's advocate.
No, you're
I don't
not.
Have these staunch, hardline views Another about boy bands. You know?
Considered superior by others or by themselves as an intellect, talent,
okay, but you
power.
Would never be able to listen to a guitar player like Nino Bettencourt and say that is... The only opinion you can have about objectively about Nino Bettencourt is that it's a superior.
But it's like jazz.
Yeah,
they're
it's like
superior,
jazz.
But
it is like
you
that,
don't
yeah.
like listening to jazz that much.
I don't mind it sometimes. I've enjoyed a few jazz gigs actually. I quite like going to see it.
Yeah.
Because it's impressive, but I don't get it. I think maybe one of the reasons why I like it is because I don't get it.
But you wouldn't.
But if I listen to like Olivia Rodrigo, I immediately not just get it. I can predict what's going to happen next. I know exactly where they got the riff from. Everything about it is just so formulaic and so familiar that, and like, I can actually tell you where they've stolen the stuff from. That's not rewarding to listen to at all, and it doesn't help music in the slightest.
No.
But is that elitism?
Well, some people were saying she's introducing those sounds back into.
Yeah, but that's the parents' culture. Responsibility, or like our responsibility as the elder statesman of music to fucking force people to listen to it. It should be in the school curriculum. It should.
Some people don't
think about
like...
some of the stuff they teach you, how to bake, Who wants that? Who cares about that? Get them to listen to the good music.
That would be in music class, but baking's in home economics are two different subjects. It's not in the music class baking a pie.
You're nitpicking.
You like baked goods, so don't shit on them.
Yeah, but I don't want to. I would never eat a cake if I was listening to that.
What? I don't know what that sentence means.
Yeah, but it's all about, you know what I mean.
I would never eat a cake.
Life is a multi-sensory experience. Yeah. If we care about what we're eating, we should care about what we listen to as well.
Yeah. But people don't often. Or they think it is good. So you think elitism's good?
Okay, if elitism is a good thing if it means that like a population doesn't eat unhealthy food. You know, so if we all acknowledge the fact that McDonald's is shit,
yeah,
then there'll be less obesity in the world.
I used to be really snobby around that.
Yeah.
Really snobby around people who went to
McDonald's. And that's why you're healthy.
And
right?
And then I find out people do go to McDonald's.
Like
sometimes.
You. When you have a 10-year-old child, one must at least do the drive-thru and say, look, child. Look upon these people. They will all be dead in 10 years because they eat here every day. That's not going to happen to you.
I would like some chicken nuggets.
And then straight through there. I might do a courtesy purchase just because, you know, I've taken up so much of the queue and, you know, it's just... And then I'll feed it to the ducks.
Poor ducks.
But they need the extra fat so they float better. I saw that on the television program.
They need to eat. But if you give them chicken nuggets, it's cannibalism.
They're not chickens.
And they're in the same family, right?
And there's hardly any chicken in those things anyway. If they just eat the batter, they'll be all right.
Okay.
Yeah. They'll be all right. What I normally do, I peel the batter off, feed that to the ducks.
Okay.
And then what do I do with the rest of it?
Eat it.
I make a little sort of meaty Jenga game.
But the elitism mindset.
Yes.
Does stop me from listening to shit music. Like, I shame myself out of it.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't particularly like feeling shame.
But it's an important emotion in our battery of emotions.
But now I'm taking your side, saying losing is good.
Yeah, okay, but you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be devil's advocado.
So people will get upset. There's some of your fans, they listened. And I keep going to Taylor Swift. It's so annoying that she's just...
Yeah,
like,
but I listen to Taylor Swift sometimes.
That's because you're listening to it with your daughter.
Yeah.
That's different, isn't it? But you listen to bands like Accept.
Occasionally, yeah.
I
do the same thing as you, but I get obsessed with...
Balls to the wall.
Well, yeah, sometimes I'll hear something and it's just so... It's either daft or it's kind of shit in the way that I like things to be shit. And it's not elitism because I'm sort of celebrating how daft it is. One of the things I really like is that Thumpasaurus strutting song.
Yeah.
Because I just think it's really...
I like that whole album. Remember I sent you another song? From
yeah.
It. It's a really good album to drive through. So
I didn't get the whole album. I just like that one song because it's sort of like they're not trying to do a hit. Like the piano playing is so shitty and they've left all these mistakes in it. It's really cool. The way he sings like doesn't showcase anything of his voice and he's a really good singer. And they're just throwing it away. And I'm really into that. I just think it's great. I like your strut. You want to go strutting,
strutting? You like my strut. Then let's go strutting. They're in the same crowd as Lewis Cole.
Yeah, maybe that's another reason.
Because Genevieve Teddy is in the music video, one of the music videos.
Yeah.
So they're in that crowd of... They just do whatever they want.
So those are artists that I really admire, and I think everybody should be listening to those, the people in that crowd, because they're capable of doing amazing things and often choose not to. It's just really cool. It's such a... I just think they've got the vocabulary and the skills to express just about anything. So it makes everything they say more important to me. Whereas if I hear an Olivia Rodrigo thing that sounds a bit like Elvis Costello, Pump It Up, the first thing I'm going to do is switch it off and listen to Pump It Up by Elvis Costello.
Isn't it like a Greta Van Fleet thing?
Yeah, but in the case of Greta Van Fleet, I think they took on a lot of the criticisms that people levelled at them and they really kicked on and they expanded their influence base to include things like Rush and stuff that's actually like... an interesting end of rock.
But when people first started listening to them, their fan base were getting a lot of stick, like, oh, these are just the same old.
Yeah, but
they're
just
ripping off Led Zeppelin. Yeah. Just go listen to Led Zeppelin.
But one of the people that I really like online is Jason Flom. You know that guy? He was in the music trade. I actually knew him from when he was at Atlantic, and he's one of those people that advocates for, like, what does he do? He does a lot of, like, people who are wrongly convicted. He helps them get out and stuff like that. And he's
wrongly convicted of what?
Anything.
Is he a lawyer?
I think he is, yeah. But I don't know, he runs some sort of charity that does all that stuff. But anyway, what I like about him is, like, he was big into Greta Van Fleet in the first instance, but always talking about their potential. You know, like, he knew that they were just doing Led Zeppelin, and now they're doing Led Zeppelin and Rush and a few other things.
I really
well.
Like that they, when they list their influences, they never mention Led Zeppelin.
that's quite really funny, good. Actually. Well, that Muse used to do that.
Didn't mention anyone else. But...
Muse went a bit further than that. When did they do that? Muse was slagging off Radiohead because they thought they were too closely influenced by Jeff Buckley, which I thought was really ironic. Ironical.
I've got another question.
Go on.
Is music designed to soothe or to challenge you?
Is it designed?
Like, what's the purpose when you're listening to a song? What do you want from it?
What do I...
Do you want to be soothed? It's
no.
Like challenged?
I want music to be so challenging that sometimes I can't face listening to it.
See, that might...
I won't even... like, if it's like, oh, God, now I've got to experience these emotions. I don't want to put this on. And then it's so daunting, the idea of listening to music, that I'd just rather sit in silence and wonder what it would be like to hear a song. And then sometimes I go, okay, put it on. And then it's a thrill ride. And then at the end of it, it's like, okay, I needed that. Thank you. Silence. I'd rather listen to nothing than, no disrespect to Olivia Rodrigo.
Stop mentioning
it. Yes. Maybe not her, but, you know. Like,
just anything that you're not into.
Anything.
So you don't like, where some people might listen to music to be soothed, like... Baby,
yeah, I'm sure there's like
so that might be the people that see it as something that makes them feel
well. They're better off listening to something like White Noise, aren't they, or Brown Noise?
Yeah, but they
or...
don't want to. Well, I think
because they're asleep. Like children.
I know, but they don't want to go to sleep. You're just saying that.
I thought you were literally talking about.
No, I mean, so you like music and you like it to challenge you. Some people don't want it to be challenged. It's like an escape to kind of feel. Soothed by life.
Well, like slipping into a warm bath full of rehashed Elvis Costello riffs.
Sounds nice.
It does.
Actually,
doesn't
prefer
it?
Yeah. Well, you know, they put it on because it makes like them feel nice.
Do you feel nice when you're listening to?
Stop.
That.
I'm gonna never listen to it again.
I don't think you should. Okay. I think you've listened to it enough.
All right.
Seriously, go listen to Elvis Costello. The album that Pump It Up's on is called This Year's Model, I think.
But you remember when I was
and it's really good.
And then I used to have to do those long drives for the first time, and every time I'd set off, I'd text you and ask you to send me an album because I didn't know what to listen to. Mm. That was helpful.
What did I send you? Accept.
There was Accept, and there was what's his name? Something Nash.
Who?
Nash.
Nash.
Remember?
Nash?
Johnny Nash. No? Yeah, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the reggae guy.
Yeah. Mm. You sent me that one time.
The reggae.
Yeah. So that was good. So I need someone to tell me what to listen to.
Yeah.
Because you don't know before you know.
Well, I think that's what I'm saying. I think if you have an opportunity to recommend good music to people,
because it's like
you're probably not going to say.
No.
You're not, are you?
No, definitely not.
Because the world is telling you to
listen
to
Beyonce. I would never tell anyone.
The world is telling you that. You don't need
I've never listened to her music, actually, except for that song, because it's TikTok. Mm. And I forgot, my friend was going to see her, and I was like, does she really have any songs? And the look I got was, I should.
Well, because their assertion was that they have lots of songs.
And she's the best ever. I mean, she is great, but I was like, oh.
Which one are we talking about now?
Beyonce.
Beyonce,
your favorite. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's funny though, because like, what's that one that was the Crazy Now one?
Crazy Now?
Crazy Now.
What?
Crazy. Which one was it?
What?
The one that was really, really successful. What's that song called again? The one that goes...
Crazy Now?
That's the one.
That's Beyonce, isn't it?
Beyonce.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but then, what's the best thing about that song, in your opinion? What do you like the most about it? If you had to pick a thing about that song, what do you like the most?
I don't know.
Can I tell you what my favourite bit is? It's a ride cymbal pattern. You know the thing I'm talking about? And it's really exhilarating to listen to. But it's just a sample lifted from a funk record, which is way better. So is that her repurposing the funk record in order to educate her fan base and bring people into this whole other world of music? That is it a gateway to that? Or is it just Beyonce taking something that's great, saying some na-na-na-na-na-na stuff over it and making it hers? Because if whenever you hear that, it's like, oh, yeah, it's Beyonce now.
Yeah.
I can't even name what that funk record was. I heard it a little while ago and I was like, oh, yeah, that's where it came from. That's cool. But I never endeavoured to find out who that was. I'm ashamed of that.
Should be.
I am.
I don't think it's she's being a gateway.
I think she's taking it and repurposing it.
I don't think her aim is to
benefit
to be a
her career and taking something that's really cool that somebody else did, saying na 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 over it and making it.
But then you're entering the world of sampling and hip hop and really.
Ah, yeah, but hip hop's a different application.
Why?
Because that's what it was, breakbeats, wasn't it? In the olden days, you'd have a funk record with a section called the breakbeat, and that's when you give the drummer some. You let them have a few bars to express themselves. That's the bit that you loop, and then you rap over that. It's fucking awesome.
But they sample other artists, right?
Always, yeah.
Yeah,
but that's what the art form. That's like the collage.
That's what Beyonce's doing.
No, she's
and Doja Cat.
Who's that?
she's number one in the chart. I just looked.
Oh.
She has a sample from this woman in the 60s, I think. Mm-hmm. And then they interviewed the woman. She's like,
is it the best bit of it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. Want to play it?
Yeah, play it. Walk on by. Who wrote that song? Pause. Burt Bacharach. Come on, guys. What's wrong with you? It's a Burt Bacharach song. Okay. He's one of the greatest songwriters of all time. And he died last year.
Yep.
Poor man.
Poor man.
Poor man. Well, he wasn't poor. He was fucking loaded. Unbelievably rich man.
Wait till the rap comes in.
Okay, here we go. Let me guess.
You like? Do you think she makes a song better?
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry, this time we meet, walk on by. I'd rather listen to that.
It's the best bit.
That's that elitism, isn't it? I'd rather hear a melody written by Burt Bacharach, sung by Dionne Warwick, for example.
But then they're like, what about new people?
Fuck them. That's what I say. Fuck them. They haven't got... Burt Bacharach had more talent in one of his eyebrows than there is evident in that whole recording. Deny. Deny it.
That's what I mean.
That's not elitism. That's objective realism. That's like
Can it be objective?
Yeah, of course you can.
Can it?
Of course you can.
Can it?
Bitch. Bitch. Saying bitch and then some other stuff in a sort of cutie voice over the work of Burt Bacharach, which is amazing.
But some people like bitches.
I know they do. I do often. I do. I suppose it's about context, really, isn't it?
Want to contextualise that?
Yeah. Like if it was bitch and, you know, and then you go... If at least there's kind of... Like maybe it's a cute song about a puppy, you know.
Like a female puppy?
Yeah. Or something like that, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are some good songs that are written about people's pets. There's all dead, all the dreams we had. That one, that's about a cat that showed up at Brian May's house and then he spent a summer playing with the cat and then it died.
Well, they will die eventually.
See, there's a lesson in there as well.
Don't get too attached. Grief is the price you pay for love.
Yeah, all of those themes are explored. And it wasn't just someone going, bitch, over the top of Burt Bacharach.
Maybe she's got an agenda.
I expect she has, yeah.
Maybe someone's crossed her.
Maybe. Maybe it was Burt Bacharach. Yeah. Burt Bacharach double-crossed her.
We find that she was...
left her for dead. And she survived and then said bitch over his recordings. Did that come out after Burt Bacharach died, actually?
It was only like 2 weeks ago.
Right, so the estate of Burt Bacharach have allowed that sample. That's what disgusts me. He's not even alive to fucking defend himself. Don't you think that's horrible? Oh, melody. I like that bit. That's cool.
There you go.
Yeah, nice. Okay, some of it's good, actually. There you go. I think I was just a bit shocked by the bitch thing.
Yeah. It's a strong way to start a song.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. I should try that. No, then.
You should try it.
Yeah.
I mean, get your hands off my woman's.
Yeah, it's got a cunt in it, but I should have done it at the top.
Yeah. Get your hands off my woman.
Can't, like a real South London.
Yeah.
Give it that. And then maybe we just have like... what do you think the Burt... Should we do a social experiment? I'll write to the Burt Bacharach estate and I'll say, I'd like to use Do You Know the Way to San Jose? Do you know the way to San Jose? And then just start the rap.
Yeah, it could be in response to that.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'll just double down on it and say, yeah. I'm enjoying, what is it she's saying? I'm enjoying being rich and yes, it's going to my head a little bit, but that's okay. I'm going to have a good time tonight by painting the town red or something. I could do that, but start off with and it'll be Do You Know the Way to San Jose?
Yeah.
It's a tried and tested formula.
Yeah, I think so.
And there's a win to be had here.
So it's half elitist, I guess. But well, I keep having to take the other side.
No, I don't mind it when there's a... I don't know. I don't mind any of it, really. I think I'm actually just... I'm playing devil's advocate, just to establish what's happening here.
He's not playing devil's
These aren't necessarily true views, are they? I mean, we're representing two opposing... Mm-hmm. Just in the name of open dialogue, you know. I think we're probably in agreement that some stuff's good, some stuff isn't, and it's all a matter of opinion. And you can't be objective about that thing. It's always going to be subjective, right?
Mm-hmm.
unless you're actually living in the real fucking world. No, I'm just kidding.
As you're saying,
I mean, you can't be object. Everything's subjective, really. But it's like, because you know, and I know this because some people listen to that and they actually think it's good, so it must be. Which proves to me that it has to be subjective, you know.
Yeah. Hmm. But some people do love Doja Cat.
But
evidently, if Bobby would have come in and put Doja Cat on while we were setting up,
that wouldn't surprise
me.
He's
like, I've got this new album. It's really relaxing and soothing.
And then I'd say to him, you know, that's a Burt Bacharach sample,
and
right?
Then
he'd go, who? And I'd say, out. Get out.
Yeah. What are you?
I am an elitist. And proud. Don't care. People need to be educated. You can't just listen to that and go, oh, that's Doja Cat. It's not. It's f***ing Burt Bacharach with someone saying bitch over the top of it.
Do you think people confuse good with familiar? Or conflate. Is conflate the right word?
I don't know. Is it the right word?
It might not be.
Confuse, conflate. I think familiarity... should never be a barometer for quality. It's just like...
But do you think that's...
You know,
our brains are like... Maybe our brains are fooling us, tricking us, our primal brains.
Yeah, but I think everyone gets used to a certain life experience. Like if it rains every day and you're familiar with that, you think, oh, rain.
No, you definitely don't.
Some people do.
I'm from Ireland. We don't like it.
Well, I suppose that's my argument then. Like, if it rains every day and you're familiar with that, that doesn't make it good, does it?
No, but in music, do you think people like... That's why certain artists are rehashing the songs of the past.
I think... I suppose if you're just outright using a sample of a... I mean, that's... And the Valerie one, the Steve Winwood Valerie.
Yeah.
All of me, it's got that Van Halen synthesizer stuff in it. And it's a really complex arrangement. It takes ages to get to the chorus, and then it's a huge payoff, and it's really cool. Then you hear a dance number,
which has
just taken the Valerie part, and it's like, fuck off!
Yep.
I hate that, because it's just like looping a few bars that is considered the hook. But you, when you listen to the Steve Winwood one, you have to really earn the hook. It's a beautiful song. It takes ages to get to it, and it's like,
but that's
wow.
What I mean, it's worth.
And the journey is just like, and you know it's coming, and then when it comes, it's like, oh, incredible listening experience. Fantastic. And then you get a synth riff after it, which sounds like Jump by Van Halen. It's amazing. It's such a great song. But then they made it into a dance song that almost killed it for me.
Yeah, I remember it.
Horrible. Dance They're producers, they need to fucking die. They need to die.
See, that would upset some people, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't care. Sorry. They're fucking wankers. They just take the best bit of a song, loop it, put a drum beat on it, and then dance to it while they pretend they're fucking fiddling with stuff on their DJ consoles. They can fuck off. Sorry, I've had too much coffee now. Anyway, I'm only playing devil's advocate just
to re-establish
the fact that I'm not necessarily believing any of these things that I'm saying, but it is important that I represent this side of the argument because you're doing the opposite. Yeah.
I only listen to
elitism.
It. Only
it can only be bad. Look at that word itself. It sort of means hierarchical societal standings, and there's nothing.
No, nothing.
I've never
listened to pop music. I just listen to intricate jazz.
I don't mind pop music though. I think some.
I know you love it, really.
I do. I like Fergal Sharkey. I like Dead or Alive.
Please pick someone in the last 10 years.
It's still pop music. It's just not popular anymore. It hasn't been popular for 30 or 40 years, but it's still pop in a way. Anything that was produced by Stock Aitken and Waterman, I love that. What else do I like that's pop?
Backstreet Boys. NSYNC. Justin Timberlake.
I think all that stuff. Nelly
Furtado.
After my time.
Natasha Bedingfield.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, I like all those. Natasha Bedingfield writes songs. Proper songs.
Yeah.
I think.
Unwritten, ironically.
I was thinking, yeah, that one. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one, isn't it? Yeah, like that one. Who else do I like? Oh, from the pop world. Okay, if I had to choose some pop stars that I think are really good.
Alive.
That's more difficult. No, you know, like anything from the Bee Gees.
Do you think they would have been disparaged by elitists back in the day?
Yeah, I think so. Because they're good-looking, virile, similar-looking siblings. I mean, obviously, it's kind of like I think there would have been a tendency to probably reject them as like the Osmonds or something like that. But they were so much more, so much more.
And the Beatles. Some people hate the Beatles.
Yeah,
a lot of people hate the Beatles, don't yeah, they?
They think they do, but they don't have a fucking clue what they're talking about.
But like, they do, don't they? They think
for example. The majority of people hated the Beatles and they think, let's go back in time. Let's make sure that the Beatles never existed. What would music look like today?
The new Beatles?
What?
Just someone else who's doing it.
If Paul McCartney hadn't done all that stuff, there'd be no pop music.
There must have been another person in the billions of people that...
Yeah, but it wouldn't be as good as it is now.
You say songs are in the ether. So someone else would have caught it and made it.
There'd be no music, and then suddenly somebody invent AI, and then AI would pull the songs out of the ether.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's if they're connected to the ether.
Well, that's eventually they'll connect AI to the ether. That's the next phase. That's what people are really worried about.
Yeah, don't want to get into the collective consciousness.
Mm. Because I think that's the one thing that we can do as humans is we can pull stuff out of the ether.
So even if the Beatles went around, someone else like... The Johnnos.
The what?
they come along and do it.
Stands at you. Okay, what year is this? This is
1979.
The Johnnos.
1994. The Johnnos come along.
Mm.
They write, "Oh, darling."
But there isn't like...
in a grunge
But there
style.
Isn't a music industry. There isn't like... I mean, without the Beatles, what would there be? They still have the Rolling Stones then, right?
Yeah, but... These are all the people who made it big. there's people making music all the time. So there could have been people making music as good as the Beatles and have done it, and it's never been heard because they never found their audience, because they were never given the opportunities. So it's not like the Beatles were the only ones doing that stuff. They just were the only ones that were heard.
Is that the prevailing theory on the Beatles among people who don't like them?
No, I just think that there's so many artists that are never seen or heard. People making great stuff behind closed doors.
Yeah.
There's no internet. What if you're really bad at socializing, just no one liked you, so they listened to your music?
That's true.
Or you had like crippling anxiety. Yeah.
Well, then put the guitar down.
But you make great music.
Get some therapy.
Back in the 60s. Don't think they talked about feelings and therapy as much then.
Yeah. No, but I also don't think that the kind of anxiety that you'd have as a musician now existed then, because I think the Beatles is one of the reasons why their mania became a phenomenon in the first place. Like, nobody cared about music in the same way without Elvis, Beatles and the Stones and stuff like that. That's when people started to realise that there was, like, mania and fanaticism and all that kind of stuff. It's like they didn't just invent that kind of pop music, but they, all of the sort of peripheral phenomenon around it is actually, they're part of the reason why that exists. People screaming at concerts, that wasn't happening in
that was a
classical
change,
music.
Change
was it?
In culture just in general, like the 60s.
But they spearheaded that by having cool haircuts.
What if
and
they were,
heads in
they had been born 30 years prior?
What?
What if they had been born 30 years
prior? Then all of that stuff would have happened in the 20s.
But they weren't. But there was a
my math isn't quite.
There was a cultural shift in general when it came to, like,
because it was post-war
freedom and sex and stuff anyway, which might led to the mania. It all kind of happened at the right moment, right time. Women and ministers.
So yeah, so if the Beatles hadn't occurred, but then you can't just limit it to the Beatles because you've got the Doors as well. That's part of it too, isn't it? The Beach Boys to a lesser extent. Who else you got? Elwood Pretzel, Buddy Holly. The list is nearly endless. I've done five, four,
three, two,
a few. But yeah, you think it's post-war liberalism and all that sexual awakening?
I think it all helps.
Hallucinogenic drugs.
Yeah.
Vietnam.
Freedom.
You think it's all that stuff?
Freedom of expression. Like, Elvis's lower half was censored in Ireland.
Mm, rightly so.
They weren't allowed to show him dancing because his hips were too fluid.
Mm.
And it was considered inappropriate for
a bit too wobbly.
The Irish society. Mm.
Well, they thought they were mocking them because they're all...
Sorry, they thought they were mocking Jesus.
No, they thought he was mocking, like, the way every Irish person wobbles out of a pub at 11:30 in the evening.
It does look a bit like that, actually, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Probably can't put that in.
Why?
Because I'm mocking the Irish. But just to say that all these racist and elitist views are not my own. I'm just playing devil's advocate. So,
yeah.
And I love the music of Olivia Rodriguez. It actually has. What? Who are we on about? Because it has an eerie familiarity to some of the songs that I grew up listening.
It tricks you. I think it's tricking people.
It's not tricking me. No. I don't feel duped by it in the slightest. Yeah, you think it's... But is it in the same way that...
Do you think artists should go, if you like my music, you should listen to my influences?
But that's one of the questions that you always get asked in interviews, isn't it? Who are your musical influences? Really funny if she goes, Elvis Costello, especially that song, Pump It Up.
It's good that Paramore got the writing credits on the song. She's basically ripped off.
Did they have to go and ask her for those? What's the rumour?
Yeah, I think Paramore may have approached after the song. They got 50-50.
It's not bad, is it?
Yeah. And Taylor Swift, she ripped off. She had to pay Taylor Swift. So.
Yeah. There was somebody that, I always talk about this one because it's brilliant. And somebody did an unlicensed sample of Stevie Wonder, and I'm not quite sure which Stevie Wonder song it was. Somebody in Stevie Wonder's camp recognised the sample, and they found out it was a sample, blah, blah, blah. And so the artist that sampled Stevie Wonder was obliged to pay more than 100%.
Oh, yeah, I think
so. They were like praying it wasn't a hit because it would have completely bankrupted.
Why did they? Is that allowed, more than 100%?
I think if you do an unlicensed sample,
that's a bit,
you're fucked. You know, you need to ask permission for those things.
That's a bit intense.
Yeah, it was. But justified, I think. So, in conclusion, what we're saying, my position, which I was adopting we were acting out the opposing views, weren't we?
Yeah. So when you meet someone and they tell you their musical influences, should you be more or less judgmental?
I think it's important to ask.
Take into consideration their family history.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be societal influence.
If they're like an Olympic athlete, maybe they don't really have time to explore music in depth.
Okay, I'm an Olympic athlete. Ask me what my favourite song is.
What's your favourite song?
Chariots of Fire. Ask me what I like about it.
What you like about it?
It just reminds me that even when I'm running in slow motion, I can look heroic. And I like the delay on that synthesizer.
Does it not make you run slower?
It probably would, actually. I use it to warm down and up.
Okay, so...
And in conclusion, elitism...
Hold on. Should you be less judgmental, or is it a good thing to be judgy?
I think when somebody tells you their musical influences, you should consider the societal influence that...
Maybe it pays off, you know, when people have those debates of whether music's good. But then the whole guilty pleasure thing. Remember Nate was... Or who was it that you asked? Richie Kotzen, was it?
No, did you ask him? I think.
Oh, Pat, and he goes, I've no such thing as guilty pleasures. Yeah. But you don't think that's true?
No, I don't think anyone should feel guilty about what they're listening to, but they should just listen to better stuff, that's all. Because it's good for all of us, you know, if like musicians like Nate Wood were more well-known,
yep.
You know, and the stuff that he likes and the circles that he moves in, people should listen to that.
What if you listen to all of that stuff?
Good for you. I applaud you. And I think
you're doing something good for humanity. Like pop and that.
That's what I do. I listen to a bit of pop. I told you. I like Strawberry Switchblade from 1985.
How old are you?
Joe Dolce, Shut Up Your Face. That's a pop song from 1983. And then I really enjoyed This Old House by Shakin' Stevens because it had a bit of a rock and roll edge, but it's still pop music from 1991. So I've really got my finger on the pulse when it comes to pop, and I feel like I recognise where some of those influences come from. It's always nostalgia, actually. When you think about Shakin' Stevens' pop records, they were 50s nostalgia.
Mm.
Olivia Rodrigo.
Every.
I got it right.
Yeah, well done.
I was actually trying to get it wrong that time as well. It's gone in. It's nostalgic for a certain period of the 80s, I think.
And a little bit of, like, noughties rock.
Only in the aesthetic. I think riffs are
Paramore from earlier. Paramore is noughties, isn't it?
Oh, noughties. Yeah, sorry, I thought you were going to say 90s.
No.
Okay. Who else are we talking about?
You said another band before.
Yeah, I forgot. Anyway. Doesn't matter. We...
So elitism is good, but you shouldn't feel shame.
Yeah, I think it's like, listen to whatever you want. But if somebody tells you, you know, I think what we're saying is, if somebody says to you, I like this band, and you think that band's shit, and you're probably right if you think that, then try and understand why. Maybe ask why.
Yeah.
What is it about that artist? Because then perhaps they might say, like you said, because I find it soothing. It's like running water.
Yeah.
And whereas to me, it's like nails running on sewage. A blackboard.
Yeah. Yeah, there's two different types. There's some music I listen to stimulate, some to switch off.
Enough about your sex life. And on that bombshell, we'll see you next time for another episode of Justin, what? Justin Hawkins Rides Again, The Jaws of Victory, Pitfalls of the Music Trade.
Elitism and taste.
Yes. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. I know that we covered, we kept covering and then recovering the same ground, but really it's an interesting topic, and I suppose it's all about
I don't even want to say guilty pleasures because I don't believe in that concept. But anyway, there's more to be discussed. Use the comments section below if there's anything that you want to pick up on or any remark you'd like to make. That's what comment sections are for. I'll see you again next week for another episode of Justin Hawkins Rides Again, The Jaws of Victory, Pitfalls of the Music Trade, and whatever the subject happens to be next time. Love you guys. See you on the ice. Again.